Ever feel like you're staring at a mountain of information and just need the crucial insights extracted?
Oh, definitely.
Today, that's exactly what we're doing. We're diving deep into domain-driven design or GDD.
Right.
Think of it as a powerful way to cut through the complexity in software by laser focusing on the core of what the business actually does.
That's right. And we're not just staying, you know, in the clouds of theory.
I did.
We're grounding this with a practical example. A cargo shipping system.
Okay.
Specifically, we're exploring UML diagrams from the DeSample Core project on GitHub.
Ah, that one.
Yeah, this project is a fantastic illustration of the cargo shipping example detailed in Eric Evans' seminal work, Domain-Driven Design, Tackling Complexity in the Heart of Software.
Okay, let's unpack this then. Our mission for you today is to navigate a readme.pdf document that, well, it unpacks these very UML diagrams.
Mm-hmm.
We'll look at what the document is trying to achieve, how it's structured, and then most importantly, we'll dissect each diagram.
Right, piece by piece.
Yeah, to understand how this DDD example is put together and how it functions. Consider this your expressed route to grasping this example without needing to decipher code or become a UML guru overnight.
Precisely. The aim is to provide a clear understanding of the system's architecture and behavior all through the lens of DDD.
And the readme points to other stuff, too.
Yeah, it acts as a signpost to further learning. It points to Evan's book, the Heat Sample Core GitHub repository for the code itself, and ASTA, which is the modeling tool used to create these helpful visuals.
Great. So let's get straight to it. The readme kicks off with user system interaction. What can we learn from these initial diagrams?
Well, what's fascinating here is how the sequence diagram in this section lays out the essential ways a user interacts with the cargo shipping system.
Okay, sequence diagram. That shows the order of things, right?
Exactly. It shows the order in which different parts of the system interact over time. And it highlights two key use cases here.
EHR.
First, a user tracking the handling of a specific cargo shipment. You know, where's my package?
The classic tracking scenario.
Uh-huh. And second, the process of a user booking a brand new cargo shipment and then getting it assigned a delivery route.
Ah, so it's showing us the choreography between the user and the system for these key tasks.
That's a good way to put it, choreography.
And the readme even mentions that Chapter 7 of Evans' book provides the detailed system requirements for these interactions.
Precisely. And, you know, Evans emphasizes the crucial need for a shared understanding and language, the ubiquitous language between the business experts and the technical team.
Right.
These use cases, visualized in the sequence diagram, they're a prime example of establishing that common ground. They clearly define what the system needs to do from the user's perspective.
Okay, so after seeing how the user interacts, the readme then transitions to the domain model overview. What's the big picture we get here?
So this class diagram, it gives us a high-level map of the core concepts within the cargo shipping domain.
Like the main nouns of the business.
Exactly. Think of things like cargo itself. Location, you know, the various ports and places and voyage, the journeys between those locations.
Okay.
And what's important to note here is that the diagram intentionally hides the specific details, the attributes and operations of these elements. They're hidden for now.
So it's not about what information is attached to a cargo or what actions a location can perform at this stage.
No, not yet.
But more about how these fundamental entities relate to each other, like a map of just the core business concepts and their direct connections.
Exactly. The focus is purely on the relationships. How does a cargo relate to a voyage? How does it move through different locations?
Setting the stage.
Right. This diagram provides that foundational understanding of the key entities in the business domain and how they are connected. And the readme mentions this layout mirrors the domain model diagram in the DotSample Core project itself.
So there's a direct link between this conceptual model and the actual implementation.
Uh-huh, which is great to see.
Okay, next up, we have a section on domain objects, specifically for our cargo with the tracking ID ABC123. This sounds like we're moving from the abstract to a concrete illustration.
We are. This object diagram, it gives us a snapshot in time.
A specific moment.
Yes, for a specific piece of cargo, ABC123. It shows us the current state of this particular shipment and how its related domain objects are connected right now.
And what's its status?
According to the diagram, this cargo is on its way from Hong Kong to Helsinki.
Okay.
And it's currently at the port of New York, where the unloading process has just been completed.
So it takes those abstract concepts from our domain model, like cargo having a location and being on a voyage, and shows us a real instance,
Exactly.
Like specific details. We can actually see the cargo, the specific location, New York, and the implied voyage segment all coming together for this one shipment.
That's precisely the power of an object diagram in this context. It illustrates the domain model in action.
Makes it much clearer. Yeah, makes the relationships and the flow of information much easier to grasp. It's a great way to solidify understanding. Okay, now that we've seen a concrete instance, the re-ADEM broadens our view again.
Right, to the overall structure of the system. What does this diagram reveal about how the whole thing is organized?
So this next class diagram gives us a wider architectural perspective. It reveals that the cargo shipping system is organized into two key bounded contexts.
Bounded contexts. Okay, that's core DDD terminology.
It is. A fundamental and strategic pattern. Here we have the booking context and the transport network context.
So separating different parts of the problem.
Exactly. By separating concerns into these distinct contexts, we aim to manage complexity more effectively.
Okay, so the booking context likely handles everything from when a customer wants to ship something, maybe creating the initial record.
That sounds about right, yeah.
While the transport network context deals with the actual planning and execution of moving the cargo, like routes and voyages.
That's a very good initial understanding, and this division isn't arbitrary, you know.
How so?
By separating booking from the transport network, we allow each domain, each context, to evolve its own model and language.
Without stepping on each other's toes.
Precisely. Without being overly influenced by the other. This becomes really crucial in large organizations where these areas might be handled by different teams with distinct priorities.
Makes sense.
The diagram also gives us a little peek into the technology used. It mentions Spring Boot, MVC, and Data JPA.
So a Java-based system using common enterprise patterns.
Looks like it. But the Adriat AME reminds us, this diagram focuses on the significant architectural elements. It's not the entire implementation.
Right. Keeps our attention on the core DDD structure, the bounded contexts, attributes and operations hidden again.
Yep. Hidden again for clarity at this level.
Okay. Now we shift gears to behavior, starting with system initialization. What's highlighted in this communication diagram?
This communication diagram, it illustrates what happens right when the cargo shipping system is first launched by a user.
The startup sequence.
Yeah. It focuses on the initial messages and interactions between different parts of the system, the ones considered important for understanding how it gets up and running.
So it gives us a glimpse into which components are talking to each other right from the get-go.
That's it. Like the opening scene of our cargo shipping play, as you put it earlier.
Showing how the different actors or system components introduce themselves and get ready for action.
Exactly. It sets the stage for the system to be ready for user interactions, like, you know, booking or tracking.
Okay. The next behavior diagram focuses on cargo tracking, specifically for our familiar friend ABC-123 again.
Yes. This communication diagram drills down into that specific scenario. A user wants to know the whereabouts of cargo ABC-123 via the tracking page.
And it brings back the context?
Right. It reiterates the cargo's journey Hong Kong to Helsinki, currently in New York. Unloading complete to provide context for the messages being exchanged within the system to retrieve and display this information.
So we see the user's request acting as a trigger, setting off a series of internal communications to fetch the latest status of that specific cargo, gives us insight into how that tracking information is actually accessed and presented.
Precisely. It shows the flow of information inside the system in response to a specific user query, all centered around that core domain object, the cargo, with its unique tracking ID.
Right. Then we have three diagrams related to cargo booking. The initial booking, route suggestion, and route assignment. Let's start with the initial booking one.
Okay. This communication diagram, labeled cargo booking, it shows the steps involved when a user registers a new cargo shipment.
Through the booking page.
Yeah, through the cargo booking page. The example used in the diagram is a new cargo being booked for delivery from New York to Helsinki.
Okay.
It outlines the sequence of messages exchanged to record the initial details of this new shipment, likely within that booking context we talked about.
Got it. So this captures the very first step in the life cycle of a new piece of cargo within the system, getting its essential details like origin and destination recorded.
Correct. It focuses on the information captured right at the point of booking, laying the groundwork for the next steps.
Next is route suggestion. What's happening in this communication flow?
This communication diagram picks up right after that initial booking.
Okay.
It illustrates the user requesting potential delivery routes for the newly booked cargo. In our example, from New York to Helsinki.
And the system responds.
Yes. The system responds with a set of suggested routes. This likely involves interacting with the transport network context.
Ah, because that context knows about voyages and schedules.
Exactly. This touches on a key logistical aspect of the domain.
Yeah.
Figuring out how to get the cargo from point A to point B efficiently, considering factors like available voyages, port availability, things like that.
So the system isn't just passively taking bookings. It's actively involved in figuring out the transportation plan.
Right.
This hints at some underlying logic for route calculation within that transport network context.
Exactly. This is where the transport network context probably does its magic, providing the necessary information for generating these route suggestions based on its understanding of the available infrastructure and schedules.
And finally, in the booking process, we have route assignment.
This communication diagram shows the final step in this particular sequence.
The user makes a choice.
Yes. The user selects one of the suggested routes and assigns it to the newly booked cargo, presumably on a route selection page.
Okay.
This action solidifies the planned delivery path for that specific shipment within the system.
So the user has the final say in choosing the route. And this diagram shows how that decision is communicated back to the system, effectively committing the cargo to a particular journey.
That's right. It marks the point where the initial booking transitions into a concrete plan for transportation. It kind of bridges the gap between the booking context's initial intent and the transport network's execution plan.
Interesting how those contexts interact. Now, the README then takes a bit of a turn, looking at JPA entity relationships for the database. Why is understanding this important when we're talking about DDD?
Well, this class diagram provides a crucial perspective. How the domain model concepts we've been discussing are actually persisted in the database.
Yeah.
How they're saved.
Okay, the storage aspect.
Yeah. It shows the relationships between the JPA entities. These entities are essentially representations of our domain objects as they exist in the database.
Like the database version of cargo or location?
Pretty much. Think of these JPA entities as the concrete blueprints for how our abstract domain concepts are actually stored and retrieved from the database. They are the translation layer between the conceptual world of our domain and the practicalities of data storage.
Right.
And the README makes a really key point here. The stereotypes used in this diagram correspond to JPA annotations, like entity. They aren't strict DDD stereotypes.
Ah, so it's showing the persistence mechanisms view, not the pure domain model view. So while the domain model is our conceptual understanding of the business.
Right, focus on the business logic.
This JPA entity diagram shows how those concepts are translated into the language of the database tables, columns, relationships. It's the infrastructure layer supporting our domain.
Precisely. It highlights that distinction between the pure business-focused domain model and its specific implementation for data persistence.
Which is important not to conflate.
Absolutely. And the README also notes that this diagram prioritizes ease of understanding for those familiar with JPA, rather than adhering to strict UML formalism. It acknowledges that different perspectives sometimes require slightly different ways of visualizing things.
Makes sense. Okay, finally we have the extra, directed graph. This sounds like maybe a more holistic view.
It is, yeah. This directed graph offers yet another way to visualize the system's structure. It represents the structural elements, the classifiers, basically the classes and interfaces, and their relationships within both the booking and transport network contexts.
So bringing those two contexts together visually.
Yes, giving you a sense of the overall interconnectedness. What's particularly interesting, it mentions, is that it allows for different layout options, so you can get various perspectives on how these elements relate.
And the README mentions something about complexity here.
It does. It notes the author was surprised by the complexity of the relationships revealed in this graph, even in what's considered a reasonably sized application.
Wow. That really highlights the value of DDD in managing complexity, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
It reminds me of a project I was on where we didn't have this kind of high-level view, and untangling dependencies became a real nightmare later on.
Oh, I bet.
Does this kind of visualization often lead to aha moments for development teams, seeing all the connections laid bare?
It absolutely can.
Yeah.
It underscores that even seemingly straightforward domains can have these intricate webs of dependencies and connections.
Yeah.
This visual representation really drives home the value of DDD in helping to manage and understand this complexity, partly by breaking it down into those manageable bounded contexts.
Right.
The README also adds a couple of technical notes. The node colors are just based on folder organization, they don't map to UML element colors.
Good to know.
And it notes the tools needed to generate such a graph, for anyone curious, Asta Professional or UML Edition, and the M Plus plugin.
Okay. The re-item wraps up with references, naturally. Eric like Evans' domain-driven design book.
The Big Blue Book.
And his domain-driven design reference, which is like the distilled version.
Yeah, the shorter reference guide, plus links to the AdSample Core GitHub repository, the ACID download page, and that M Plus plugin.
So plenty of resources for you if you want to dig deeper after this.
Absolutely. These references provide the theoretical foundation and the practical implementation details for anyone looking to expand their knowledge of DDD and see it in action within this cargo shipping example.
So to summarize this deep dive, this readme.pdf and its accompanying UML diagrams really do offer a valuable window into how DDD principles from Eric Evans' book get applied in a, well, a real-world-ish example, this cargo shipping system.
Mm, it's a classic teaching example.
And by stepping through these diagrams with us, you've hopefully gained a foundational understanding of the system structure, how users interact with it, its core domain concepts, its overall architecture with bounded contexts.
Key behavioral scenarios.
And even how it's all mapped to a database. And crucially, without needing to get lost in the actual code right away.
Exactly. It provides a fantastic high-level overview and really a great entry point for understanding the practical application of DDD.
Okay, so here's a final thought to leave you with. Considering the interconnectedness we saw hinted at in that directed graph.
Yeah, the complexity.
What are some of the hidden dependencies you might expect to find lurking in any complex software system? And maybe more importantly, how might a DDD approach, with its emphasis on clear boundaries like bounded contexts and really understanding the domain, help manage that complexity and prevent those dependencies from becoming, you know, completely unmanageable?
That's a great question to ponder.
Something to think about after this deep dive. We definitely encourage you to explore the links provided in the original readme, maybe start with that GitHub repository to see the code in action, or even pick up Evan's book if you're intrigued to learn more about domain-driven design.